Eric.
What?
I was wondering something, and I thought I would ask you.
Okay, yeah, shoot.
I thought today would be the perfect day. If you could be one Mario Wonder character for a day, who would it be?
Am I limited to only the Mario Wonder universe?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I said.
I'm just going to say Magic Koopa, because Magic Koopa doesn't get enough respect.
What?
Yeah.
So you're picking a character that's not even a playable character?
Yeah. Well, he's magical. He can cast spells and turn blocks into Koopas.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, since we're not picking playable characters, man, that really opens things up.
And he can also fly on a broom, which is pretty sweet. So what about you? Who would you pick?
I'd be Bowser.
Bowser?
Yeah.
So you would be part floating castle ship?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically in charge of everything.
That's true. I guess you would get to order Magic Koopa around.
Yes. Oh, good point.
But you could
be the best.
Well, I guess you do have a flying machine, too. Well, I guess everyone kind of has a flying machine.
And I've got the laugh
Mario.
Down.
I'm Bowser.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, you got it. That's right. It.
Totally got it.
Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about Super Mario Wonder.
Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Get it right.
Wow. All right. Super Mario Brothers Wonder is a 2023 platform game developed and published by Nintendo for Nintendo Switch. It is the first traditional side-scrolling Super Mario game since New Super Mario Brothers U in 2012. The player controls Mario and friends as they attempt to stop Bowser, who plots to take over the new land known as the Flower Kingdom, after using a magical wonder flower to fuse himself with the kingdom's castle.
All right, well, I've got a lot to talk about. So are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go.
So were you able to find much on Mario Wonder? I'm just going to say Mario Wonder because Super Mario Brothers Wonder is just too much of a mouthful.
That's fine. Yeah, I was able to find a good bit. I found a really good interview with like five of the main people on the team. Yeah, it was like a 4-part interview.
Wow.
It was pretty long. It was on Nintendo's website. So I found a lot of stuff from that, and then like there was a lot of other stuff out there, like on Wikipedia, and then this, I like to go to the sources on Wikipedia and read where they come from, because there's more information
for
there.
Sure, yeah.
So anyway, we're going to start in the year 2019.
Okay, yeah, not too far
back.
When
you think of 2019, what do you think of, Eric? There's only one correct answer.
Was it... Oh. I was thinking of world events. I was also trying to think of Nintendo. Yeah,
I'm over here waving my ring finger at him.
Our anniversary, of course.
But it wouldn't have been our anniversary in 2019.
No, I know. That's when we got married.
Anyways. All right. Anyways, it's 2019 and Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe just came out on the Switch.
Okay.
All right. Super Mario Brothers U was the last 2D side-scrolling game they did before Mario Wonder.
Yeah, and I never ended up playing that. Most of these side-scrolling games are pretty good, so.
Yeah, so when they released Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, that was basically a remastered version for the Switch. And they're like, you know what? We think it's time to start thinking about the next Mario Brothers game.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good odds. Yeah. It's going to be successful.
And there's always another one in the works, right?
Yeah.
So veteran Super Mario developer and producer Takashi Tezuka returned for Mario Wonder and said when they were working on Mario Maker 2, he was already thinking about the next 2D Mario side-scrolling game. So he's been thinking about it for a while. Like, what can we do to take it to the next level?
Yeah, because I think the bar is set pretty high because like Mario Maker and Mario Maker 2 kind of allow anyone to make Mario levels.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels in a way like, okay, what can they possibly do? Like almost everything has been done.
Exactly. You sound like the critics at the time. So at the time, some of the critics were saying they thought Super Mario Maker eliminated the need for another 2D Mario game. And Tezuka insisted the next game would be completely different. And in later interviews, even says those remarks probably like motivated him to make sure that it was really special.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I'll show them. Because you can only do in Mario Maker what it allows you to do.
Yeah.
Unless you know coding and stuff, you're not really going to be able to go in there and like create a new something that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Nintendo and these guys, obviously, they've got the power to do whatever they want to.
Yeah. No, I get it. It just like also just the formula of the 2D or 2.5D or whatever you want to call it, platformer, is a lot of things have been done to death. And so it's like, okay, what can you possibly do to improve on it? But yeah, it's obvious they came up with a solution.
Exactly. So they started development later in 2019 with basically no deadline. They were allowed to have as much time they wanted. Tezuka obviously is on the team, but also Shiro Mari is the director. And so they were allowed the comfort of time so they could brainstorm and just come up with ideas. And
oh, that's cool.
They didn't have to rush anything. Yeah, I'm like, this is the dream. Like they're living the dream. But these guys have also been in the industry for a really long time. So, I mean, they've kind of earned it in a way.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Because also sometimes, though, when you don't have deadlines, you can just sit there and flounder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool that they didn't flounder too much.
Yeah. So they were really able to prioritize content over a deadline, over a schedule. And I mean, at this point, you know, it's been 10 plus years since the last traditional 2D side-scroller Mario Brothers game. So, you know, what's the rush now? People have already waited a while. So what's 2-3 more years?
True. Yeah.
Their main goal was to come up with a Mario game full of hidden surprises and wonders. So that's kind of where the name.
That's the name of the game.
That's kind of where the name comes from. But it kind of makes sense, you know, when you're playing it.
I think,
you know, all the surprises and everything.
I think Super Mario Brothers Surprises and Wonders would have also been a good name.
Another hidden challenge for them was creating a 2D game for the modern gamer. It's not 1986. You don't have like 5 megabytes to create a game that's got to keep people entertained for hours. It's just a different world now. You have a lot of different skilled gamers coming in. You have people that want to play with their families. You know, it's a lot broader of a hobby now and stuff.
So, yeah, that's very true.
You know, it's just a lot. It's just a different world for gaming now than it used to be.
Yeah, and you have like the Mario Brothers movie bringing more kids in, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. So 2D games often have a reputation for being unforgiving, you know.
What?
One mistake can snowball into bigger and bigger mistakes. It's like you miss one jump and then you're like just, you know.
Well, you usually miss one jump and then you're dead.
Well, that's true. So for this game, they really wanted to make it approachable for all types of gamers. That's why they decided to create a more open world type with lots of different level difficulties. Until now, 2D Mario games have been in a format where players have to like complete a course to go on to the next course, or like, you know, to advance in the game.
Yeah.
And they wanted this to be more like fluid, so people had more options to kind of play it however they wanted to.
Yeah. You know? So they kind of accomplished that. So some levels are definitely like on a set path, but others you can kind of avoid some of the harder levels maybe and do some of the easier ones if you want. So
yeah,
I think they were pretty successful.
And that's why they wanted to like code the levels with the difficulty stars too. So people could kind of start where they want to start. You know, if they want to start off easy, they can. If they want to start off with a challenge, you know, they can do that. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. The difficulty ratings are a nice touch. And they kind of let you know ahead of time going into a stage, like what level of frustration were you going to expect?
Yeah. So Mario Wonder was announced during a Nintendo Direct presentation in June 2023 and was released on October 20th, 2023. For the Nintendo Switch only, but it has received pretty good reviews overall, and it's like sold a lot of copies. So
yeah, I think that's kind of what it did it for me, was the fact that it was reviewing well and people were coming out and saying like, hey, this isn't just another like 2.5D platformer, like mm-hmm. they really did do some innovative stuff with this game.
They really did, and I'll probably be able to sprinkle in some bonus fun facts, but I've got three to start with.
Nice. All right, yeah, some fun right. facts. Let's
so
do it.
Fun fact number one, Hayashida, hopefully I didn't butcher that name too bad.
Yeah,
who is a developer who mostly is experienced in working with 3D Mario games, he was actually brought in to help with Wonder. So one of the things he said in that interview that I read was, 3D Mario games are sometimes described by the media and players as a toy box of ideas. So I decided to apply some of the ideas we use to create 3D Mario games to a 2D Mario game. With these things in mind, we decided to have an idea sharing session. Everyone from programmers to designers and sound designers joined in and wrote down gameplay ideas on sticky notes.
That's cool.
So they took all these sticky notes, basically, read them all out, and started making prototypes of the ideas, like, on the spot, so they could just kind of see if it had any footing. Do you want to take any guesses on, like, how many sticky notes there were overall?
Ooh, I bet there was a bunch. I'm going to say 50.
Oh, way more.
200.
Way more.
2,000.
Yes. There's 2,000
wow.
ideas that everyone had. And so, yeah, obviously that was a lot of trial and error and, like, seeing what could work, seeing what couldn't. I'm sure some of them they just were repeated maybe, or some were just like, that's definitely not going to work. But I thought that was really cool that they asked for ideas from all different people that are working on the game.
Yeah.
Because they are trying to create this world of wonder and surprise. And so what's better than having people who don't think the same way coming up with ideas?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And they also said during that interview, like, when you get hired at Nintendo, they're always telling you, no matter what department you work in, if you have an idea of how to make this game better, if you have an idea, let us know. They like really want to encourage people to be open with their creativity and not like not say their ideas if because they're scared or mm-hmm. because they're not in the right department, or you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But also the other side of me is like, if you have an idea, we would like to take it and use it for ourselves. But again, most people aren't going to go out and develop a whole game by themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I get it. So that's pretty cool.
Fun fact number two. Obviously, in this game, you get Elephant Mario / Luigi / whoever.
Yeah, the elephant power up.
Yeah, where you can spray water for various reasons.
various reasons
to there's a couple of different things you can do with the water. You can get water in your trunk and then you can spray it out on plants or on the ground and like coins will pop up. You can spray water at like enemies.
That's true.
Also, sometimes the ground will be on fire or something. You can
put
the fire out.
Yeah,
but anyways, another idea that they had was allowing the elephant to blow up shells with his trunk. So imagine
blow up shells.
Yeah, so imagine like a shell and then the elephant can like blow it up like a balloon sort of.
Oh, they make it
and
bigger.
Then it might pop or yeah.
Oh, that's actually sounds like a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, so they even had on the interview that I read, they had a cool video of like the concept of this, and they have the little elephant Mario blowing up a shell.
Yeah.
It's really short, so it's not like they put it in a level or anything.
Huh. Yeah, I wonder why they didn't make it over to the final game.
Yeah, so they said they thought having an inflated shell would be cute, but how Do you use the large shell to make the game more interesting?
Oh.
And so that's why they eventually dropped the idea, because they couldn't really figure out how to like work it in.
Yeah, I guess.
But just, I thought that that would be kind of cool.
Just blowing up a shell and making it larger sounds like a cool idea, but yeah, practically, like, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
I get it.
I mean, you could make it larger and then have it slide, you know, and then it would knock out like blocks and everything, not just enemies, because, you know, it would be big. I don't know. That might be something we'll see like in a future Mario game, though. Fun fact number 3. Upon beating the special world and obtaining every wonder seed in the game, you'll unlock the ultimate final level, the final test badge marathon.
Yeah.
And you got this achievement, right? Or you unlocked this level?
Yeah, I mean, I had to, right?
You did. Spoiler, Erica did the challenge, but whatever.
I was going to get all the wonder seeds, yeah.
So many have been calling this the hardest Mario level ever.
Mm.
And, you know, I wanted to know what you thought about that. Do you think it's the hardest Mario level ever?
No. maybe official Nintendo Mario level, but if you've seen some of the game mods people have made, some of the Kaizo stuff, that stuff is just like insanely difficult.
Yeah.
Like everything has to be timed perfectly type of stuff. This was tough, but it had room to make mistakes and errors and stuff.
Yeah. So I thought it was funny though, because what do you get after beating the so-called hardest Mario level ever? You are rewarded with a badge called Sound Off, and its effect changes with every level or every course. Did you go back and try to use it?
No, I didn't even think about it. Yeah, I didn't even think about trying to use it, but it does sound interesting. Honestly, that would be cool to see what it does.
Yeah.
So it like eliminates some sounds, I guess, or adds some?
I don't know. I think it's just called Sound Off. I don't think it has anything to do with the sounds. It's just like the effects are kind of like random. So I don't think you'll know what effect you're going to have until you like play the level.
Okay.
Is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But I'm not good enough to beat all special world levels. So I did not get that achievement yet. I'm going to have to work harder on that.
You could always just load up my game file.
Yeah. And just one last thing. Bonus fun fact. When I was reading the interview with all the creators, one thing they talked about was the amount of like extra detail they put in everything. And they really pointed out the facial expressions of, you know, all the characters, Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, etc. But also the enemies are a lot more expressive with their like face and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when Mario runs, his feet are kind of blurred and just little things like that. They really paid attention to all the small little details to like not only push this game to the next level idea wise but like graphics wise and everything too.
Yeah, you know? And that was actually one of my pros, is just the level of detail on this game is nuts. It's so good.
Yeah, so we can go ahead and just start talking about the pros. Well, then
you don't want to talk about the story?
there's not much of a story. It's your typical Mario story. Yeah. Bowser comes in. Mario's gonna
stop Bowser. I'll say,
except you don't have to say Princess Peach.
Yeah, it's not a damsel in distress story, which is like 90% of the Mario games. But it is like
we're transitioning into the modern times, and Nintendo's getting with it.
Well,
okay?
I think they realize that people actually want to play as Princess Peach and Princess Daisy during these games, and they're like, if she's captured and in distress, you can't really play as her.
Plus, the Princess Peach game is about to come out, and you know, they got to get people hyped up for that.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
What's better than getting a little bit of a preview, you
know, by having her as one of the main playable characters? Yeah, I mean, it makes sense in a lot of ways, but yeah, the story is like Mario games are not really known for their story.
No,
well, I'll say with the exception of like some of the RPGs, like the Paper Mario series, the handheld ones, like the Superstar Saga, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, the RPGs maybe
Most
Mario game is like, hey, we don't care about the story. It's just going to get in the way. We know you want to play a game.
There's other games for that. You know, there's other games if you want a super detailed story. And, you know, we play a lot of those too. But this is more for kind of turn your brain off a little bit. Yeah.
So there is a story, but it's not important to the game at all.
Yeah. All right. So a big thing with this game is that the world is just so colorful. Everything's super detailed. The world's really detailed. The character and character design, you know, is all really detailed. And I think it really does a good job of like elevating the old 2D side scroller to the modern times.
Yeah, I had on mine that this game is just, it's a work of art. It's beautiful. And yeah, it's like you were saying earlier, the level of detail is nuts. Like, it really does feel like almost like a painting or something that you're playing when you're playing this game. It's just like the colors are so vibrant and like the characters and animations are so good.
And then like the music is so good. I mean, that's perfect. The music is perfect. And the sound effects, it's not just the music, but just the sound overall, like the sound effects, the little voices, and the voice acting. I think it's all really, really good.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
I mean, you kind of have high expectations for Mario games and Nintendo because you know they're spending mad amounts of money on this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all these people that have been doing it for years and years. So, you know, they have a really high level of what people expect. And I think this game did a pretty good job.
Yeah. And for me, one of the things I liked was the main gimmick for this game was that all the main levels basically contain a Wonder Flower.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wonder Flower triggers this like trippy event that will last until you either obtain a Wonder Seed or like sometimes there's a timer that could run out or you could die or something. But there's no way to know exactly what the Wonder Flower is going to do in a given level. And that to me is like one of the best parts of this game because it makes like every stage unique in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And you really do look forward to that like Wonder Flower event where it's like something is going to go off the rails. And it could be anything. Like I know in some of the levels, like characters will break out in song, which is pretty cool. Like other levels,
you could turn into a ball and then you have to start rolling.
Yeah. You could like be hurled through space. You could like, it could cause like a massive stampede. It's just like, it's so random what it does.
It usually has something to do with like changing the environment over the character, but sometimes the character changes also. So it's kind of like a surprise every time. You never know.
Yeah.
Especially the first playthrough, you're like, ooh, what's it gonna be? Am I gonna turn into a slice of cake? Or am I gonna have to like swim through the air like I'm in space? Like, there's just all kinds of cool stuff.
It's usually something just cool and trippy, and that adds to the art and the level because like it's like every single level has this like super cool kind of like trippy event where they kind of went above and beyond.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it stand out from like other Mario games where it's like, okay, yeah, you're just playing through the stage.
Yeah. And that's one of the things they were like really wanted to make sure that this game was different from others. And so the Wonder Flower idea was their way to kind of play around more with like the environment and stuff instead of just giving Mario a new power, you know?
Yeah. And the powers are still really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds to the game too. But yeah, that Wonder Flower event really, like, it's kind of the gimmick, but it's also like the best part.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah.
And you don't have to get the Wonder Flower every time. In fact, it almost kind of makes the level two levels, you know? Because if you play it with the Wonder Flower, you know, that's one way. And then you play it without the Wonder Flower, you know, and that's kind of a whole different level.
It will definitely change a segment of the level.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
The level design and gameplay in this game is super fun. Something for all skill levels.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think this is the first Mario game I've ever beaten all by myself.
Wow.
Yeah, because, man, those old ones, they're so freaking hard. And you know, platforming is not my strong suit. I'm getting better at it, but this one definitely, like, if I can beat it, I think, you know, most people could probably beat it.
There are definitely some challenging stages to be sure.
Yeah.
Or for sure. But yeah, a lot of the most challenging stages are saved for the special world, which is kind of cool because it gives that extra added difficulty after the game or even during the game if you go there.
Yeah. But just some of the stuff they did with the levels in this game, I think, is different. Also, like, they added, like, you know, you can push the pipes around, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The pipe flowers, what are they called? The
piranha.
The piranha flower. They'll come out and start walking. You know, there's just like, they added a Koopa with skates, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so they didn't just change like the Wonder Flower stuff. They added new things like all over the place.
Yeah. And that's, and part of that, like, what makes this Mario game so great is like the secrets in the stages.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just loaded up with like secrets of like trying to play with the environment and the enemies and stuff and see what you can do. Like, you know, maybe like pouring water on a flower will cause something cool to happen, or like pushing a pipe or doing something, or falling into a pit or something. But mm-hmm. It's just loaded with secrets, which is really neat.
Yeah, they really do accomplish their goal of making a game full of surprises and wonder, because the whole time you're like, ooh, what's gonna happen now? You know, like, you feel like a little kid again, like, oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah, the levels are very fun to explore for sure.
Yeah.
So one of the things I liked were the badges. I thought they were a great addition.
That's what I had next on my list, too.
There are 24 badges you can obtain throughout the game, but you can only bring one badge at a time into a level.
Yes. So tough decisions to make.
Yeah. So, and they can do things like give you a parachute, like a little bit of a double jump, a wall hook, an automatic like mushroom or different power up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they could do something to make the game harder, too.
Oh, yeah.
If you want more of a challenge, like there's one that like causes you to bounce every time you hit the ground, or one that makes you constantly running.
Or one that makes you invisible.
Yeah,
so you really can't see where you are, except for sometimes a little cloud will come up where your feet are.
Yeah, when you jump, you can occasionally see a little cloud by your feet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the hardest ones, the one that makes you invisible, because you don't exactly know where you're falling when you jump.
Yeah, and I think that the badges are really cool, because you don't have to earn them. Well, you do earn them along the way, but once you have them, you can pick them anytime.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like sometimes if you're having difficulty with the level, you can pick the right badge and it can help you out. But then also, like you said, if you want more of a challenge, it gives you those options if you're more of a hardcore platformer gamer and you want like some really hard challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you can play each level 24 times with each badge if you wanted, and it would be like a whole different experience.
Yeah.
A whole different challenge, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I like that some of the badges affect like your abilities, but then some of the badges affect the level itself. So like you have some that give you like a spin jump or whatever, or like a vine that you can like sling out like you're freaking Spider-Man and like stick it to the wall. But then there's also some that you can choose where it will suck up all the coins. Like it gives you like a power, so all the coins just kind of go to you and you don't have to actually jump and get them. There's like one where it'll add more blocks to the level.
Yeah, I thought that one was really handy, because it makes some of the platforming easier.
There's a badge that's actually just like a sensor, so anytime you get near something kind of wondery, it'll like go
secret,
off.
Yeah.
So anytime there's like a big purple coin, or if the wonder flower is nearby or whatever, it'll like kind of go off and you'll know, oh, something special is like in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Because like some of the levels have like hidden bonus wonder seeds, or like different pathways you can go down, you know, things like that. So it's kind of hard to find them all on your own sometimes.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I think the whole badge aspect of this game is just really neat, and it adds a whole different level of strategy and everything else.
Yeah, I agree.
So another really cool thing I love about this game is the magic of all the hidden stuff. And we talked about some hidden stuff in the levels, but there's also like hidden levels on the map, so you have to like sort of just walk around everywhere on the map, and you might bump into a level that was hidden, or you might go down like behind something that you can't really see, but it lets you walk, and then boom, there's like a pipe that you can go down and like find a hidden person to talk to that might give me some coins or something.
Or a secret shop.
Yeah. So I think that all that's super cool. Like, just a lot of replayability for the levels because, you know, there's hidden wonder seeds. You know, yeah. There's just, like, all kinds of stuff to find. But I wanted to point out that it's not just in the levels, that it's, like, yeah, on the map, too.
The overworld has a bunch of stuff, which is cool. Yeah, that's a good one. One of the things I really liked was I thought that the character selection was great.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Daisy. Of course, you have a couple of the Toads, Toadette. You have some Yoshis and the curveball character, Nabbit, who I did not see coming.
Yeah, it's kind of, he's weird.
Yeah, I mean.
He's cool, though. He looks weird.
Yeah, the Yoshis and Nabbit play a little bit different.
Yeah.
Basically, the power-ups don't affect them other than giving them an extra hit. But the Yoshis can eat enemies like they would, like in a traditional Mario game. And they also have that extra little bit of a hover jump. And also, other characters can ride the Yoshis. Mm-hmm. So if I'm playing Yoshi and Nikki's playing like Mario or Peach or something, she can get on my character, which is kind of good or bad.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't want to get on my character.
Yeah, that's actually in my cons, but yeah.
And then the Nabbit was the curveball character for me because like he's kind of like just a regular character, but the power-ups don't affect him.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding was he was basically like more of a challenge
character. The challenge character, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want more of a challenge, the only drawback to him is that some of the secrets can only be obtained through the power-ups. So if you're really trying to get like everything on a level,
that's true.
You know, you probably aren't going to want to play him unless you're playing him with other people or something. Yeah,
that makes sense. Another fun fact is when you're in elephant mode, and you are playing with a Yoshi and you jump on Yoshi's back in elephant mode, he kind of makes this little face like, you're heavy.
That's funny.
I think it was kind of funny. Another thing I really like is, speaking of Elephant Mario, I think Elephant Mario is just a really fun, creative idea, being able to spray the water out. I also like the little things they did, like when you're Elephant Mario and you try to go through a doorway, you kind of have to squeeze your butt through. And I just really think that that's a really cool like power up. I also like the other bubble flower that they give you. So it's like, it's kind of like the fireball flower, but instead of shooting fireballs, you shoot bubbles and they'll kind of encompass the enemy and turn them into coins.
Yeah.
I mean, you can also shoot the bubbles out and kind of like jump on them if you need like a little extra boost, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty neat add to just like a cool utility thing. The negative is that the bubbles kind of travel a little bit slower than like a fireball or something.
Yeah, and there was just a couple of times where I jumped on the bubble when I didn't want to jump on the bubble, but you know, it's still fun. And then the other power up that they came out with was
the drill.
Yeah, the drill cap, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a drill hat, and it allows you to drill down into the ground or drill up into like the ceiling, and you can kind of like bypass a lot of enemies that way because you just kind of go underneath them. It also allows you to sort of break certain blocks that you might not be able to break otherwise.
And then get to anything those else? Like secrets that are hidden by like, you know, if you need like a really narrow like passage to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can get through by drilling into the ground.
Yeah, they added a bunch of cool like new power-ups.
Yeah,
which I thought,
and
were
I
really
think they all add to either the platforming or the finding secrets kind of aspect to the game.
Yeah,
which is really fun. One of the things I really liked was the couch co-op multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a bit chaotic trying to follow your character on screen sometimes, but the game makes up for it by allowing you to bring each other back to life when you do die.
Yeah, that part's cool.
So it feels like it doesn't like slow down the flow of the game because you do die a little bit more, but you're still having fun because, you know, you're playing with your buddy, your friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that like something they did really well with this game is like, yes, they did make it something new and fresh and something different, but they also pulled from all the past Mario games. Like you can literally see different references and different things that they pulled from Mario 3, Mario 2. And I think the part where you can bring each other back to life, I remember that being on the Mario Super Mario Brothers for the Wii.
Yeah,
that was the first time I saw that. Is when you died, you came back in a bubble,
yeah,
and you had to pop the bubble. So like, I think they pulled that from there, and like you can see, like there's other art references to Mario 3, like the zigzag edge when they like change
transition screens
and just little things like that. Like being like, oh yeah, they like pulled that from there, and I remember that from that, and like. They did a really good job of keeping like the nostalgia there too.
Yeah.
For people.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I know you mentioned co-op, but I think it's cool that you can play up to 4 players at a time in this game. So
yeah.
If you want to do more of a party kind of game, you can.
Yeah. And that's one of the cool things is like you can be 4 Toad characters or 4 Yoshi characters.
Yeah.
So if you all wanted to play Yoshi, you can.
One of the funny things I thought that they like said in the interview when they were deciding like all the characters you could play with is they wanted to make sure they had 2 princesses so that the little girls wouldn't fight over who was going to be Princess Peach.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Like in families, you know?
Yeah. Assuming they don't have 3 daughters.
Yeah, assuming. I mean, they got Toadette and stuff, so I guess
that's true.
Hopefully... That's probably the youngest sister's option. You know, the baby always gets last pick.
And the last pro I had was the fact that the story just, it didn't waste too much of your time. It really
That's
did.
That's a pro for you?
Yeah. Honestly, like, get to the fun part of the game, which to me, for me, is the platforming.
Yeah.
And actually playing the game. And with Mario, definitely not so much the story.
Same.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Moving on to cons. So what's something that you thought wasn't that great or could have been improved?
So, I don't know. I feel like my first con is it kind of could go multiple ways. So my first con is that the game's a little short.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're just playing it through the first time and beating Bowser, the game's kind of short. You can obviously go back and there's a lot of replayability and a lot of extra time that you can put in if you want to do all these extra challenges and change up your badges and change up whatever. But yeah, I thought the game could be a little longer. Maybe they could have added another world or something.
Yeah, I actually
added some more levels. I don't know.
I actually kind of waffled back and forth on that one because like it does feel a bit short, but at the same time, it does feel satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's one of those where it kind of leaves you wanting a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which is honestly kind of a good thing.
That's true. In most instances. I'm being a little nitpicky here because I think overall this game is just really good. But I think if I had to, you know, say, hey, this is something I would like, it'd be like a few more levels.
Yeah. So one of my cons was while you said it's very accessible, it's also maybe like a tad bit too easy in my opinion.
Yeah. I thought you might say that.
Yeah, you have the Nabbit character, which again, like, he can make things harder, but if you want to find all the secrets, then you can't really use him. There's also the Special World, which had some challenging stages, but there really weren't too many of them, and none of them were, like, too outrageous, I felt like.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I'm not, like, a Kaizo player or anything.
No.
But I feel like if you are a Kaizo player or, like, one of those high-level platformers, this game actually might be too easy for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you're pretty high level, you know?
I disagree.
I mean, you play Mega Man. That's like some of the hardest platforming games like ever made, I feel like.
Man,
so
if you've seen some of those Kaizo Mario players play, it's freaking nuts the stuff that
they do. Well, I mean, yeah, they're probably in like the top 5%, but I would say you're probably in the top like 30%, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Whereas I definitely see what you're saying, because I even thought that when I was playing, I was like, man, if I can beat this, I bet the really good people are gonna like think this is probably too easy. But then that's where I tell people, hey, just put the invisible badge on and then try to beat the whole game that way.
Yeah, there are definitely ways to make the game harder, which is kind of cool. But at the same time, you know, because they're optional, it does make it, you know,
yeah,
you don't need to do them. Yeah, so one of my cons was I felt like Prince Florin was kind of annoying.
Aw, you didn't like him?
Well, he keeps wanting to talk. Like, he's got to talk to all the people. Hey,
I mean, you know, he's the only one that does it.
Yeah,
so.
I guess someone's got to talk and give you a little bit of story. But, you know, He's sometimes just like, when you enter a world and stuff, like, I already know what's happening. Like, yeah. We had that conversation. You don't need to repeat it again or
yeah,
anything like that.
I think you're just being nitpicky. I don't think you talked to that much.
I mean, I am being nitpicky because there's not a lot of cons to think
he
about.
He didn't talk that much. He was just there to kind of move the story along. What little story there was.
Yeah, true.
But I was thinking, I know I read that you can turn the voice off for the little flower guy.
Oh,
you know,
that's
the
cool.
Little flower guy that gives you fun commentary. You can turn him off in the setting. So I wonder if you could turn Florian off for the settings too.
Maybe. I honestly, the talking flowers weren't too bad. I can definitely see some people getting really annoyed with those guys though.
Because I thought, like, they were funny.
Every time you pass by them, they'll say something. Sometimes they'll repeat dialogue and sometimes they'll say something new, but
sometimes they're a little snarky. I mean, they'd say something that you pretty much already knew, you know? You know, like, did you miss something? You know, yeah. I thought it was kind of funny, kind of silly. Something else I didn't like was what we talked about earlier when one person's Yoshi and the other person's not Yoshi.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to play like normal. It has this kind of like auto piggyback.
Yeah. Auto
thing.
Mounting.
Yeah. Auto mounting kind of thing that's in the game. So it's like, it just automatically kind of like clicks you onto Yoshi's back, whether you want to or not. And so I found that when we were trying to play levels where you were Yoshi and I was like Princess Peach or whatever, I would spend a lot of the level just trying to get off your back because I would accidentally jump on there, just trying to jump like normal to play the level.
Yeah, because
it was just really frustrating.
Yeah, because when you're platforming together and you're right next to each other on like these little narrow platforms, of course you're going to like have to jump near each other or like next to each other or sometimes right on top of each other. So there's really no way to avoid that mounting action. But yeah, it just means that either you're all playing Yoshi or none of you are playing Yoshi.
Yeah, that one makes more sense.
Yeah.
Just to just have two Yoshis because a Yoshi can't ride another Yoshi, right?
Yeah, I think that's the case. Okay. That would be hilarious if you could, though.
But yeah.
Just to have four Yoshis on top of each other.
That'd be funny. But yeah, that was like kind of the only thing I really found annoying as far as like mechanics went. It's a real 180 from last week's game where all the controls sucked.
Yeah, the controls on Pac-Man 2 were terrible. So my last con is $60 is a bit much for a game this short, in my opinion. It's still new, so I get why it's $60, but my issue is that Nintendo never puts anything on sale.
Are you sure it's 60, not 50?
Yeah, it's 60.
Okay.
So it will probably keep costing $60 well past the point where it should. For it being new, it feels right, but like a year or two from now, if $60 will feel like too much.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, and that's just Nintendo, though, for you. They don't to put anything on sale.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
I have a couple more cons, I guess.
All right, yeah, go for it.
Some of the badges I just do not care for.
Yeah.
The pogo stick one, especially, there's one that basically makes you jump the whole entire time. You can't walk
anything. Well, that was one to make it harder, intentionally.
Yeah, but I don't like it. I really, really, really don't like it. Even enough to play it just to get the badge achievement, I was like, this is not fun.
I thought it was kind of cool. It added a different element where you had to be really careful of approaching an edge because it was very, very easy to accidentally jump
off. I get that others might like it and they might want that challenge, but for me personally, that's not the ticket. And then also another thing is sometimes you would see a secret something like a glowing brick or something that you knew you had to get. And you'd be thinking, oh, this is going to be something cool, extra life, a 10 coin purple thing. I don't know what you call those.
Yeah,
but you
purple
know what
coin.
I mean.
Yeah.
Well, because there's the little purple coins, but then there's like mega purple coins.
The 10, the 10X.
And like, so you would do all this tricky stuff to try to like hit that brick or whatever. And then like one little purple coin would pop out. Like, and that's it. Nothing that cool.
So sometimes the challenge didn't equal the reward.
No. And it's like you do use these purple coins to buy things at the little store on the map. Like you can buy wonder seeds or buy certain power ups or extra lives, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I just spent like 3 minutes trying to do this tricky thing to see what's in here, and it's just one little purple coin. It's like, dang, that's not cool, man. Not cool. Kind of let down. And then my last thing is, I think the online play could be better. I get that they were kind of trying to keep it simple.
Yeah.
But I feel like it could have been just a little bit more.
The online play basically allows you to see ghosts of other players, but not really interact other than potentially either them saving you or you saving them. So it kind of gives you an extra handicap for stages.
Yeah, and if you're just playing by yourself and you want to feel like not so alone,
yeah,
it's kind of fun because you can see other people running the course, like as a ghost. It doesn't affect you at all, but you can kind of see what they're doing.
And you can also leave those little cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, and I did look up that you can play with your friends online if you're both online together.
Oh, cool.
And so that's kind of cool, like, you know, if we ever have another pandemic again or whatever, you know, you can get online and play with your friends. So that's...
Yeah, I thought it was...
cool, but then I thought, like, you know, they just could have did a little bit more with it.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, to me, it was fine. I don't necessarily want someone coming into my stage and messing with me or messing with the level too much.
Yeah, not without me choosing that option.
Yeah.
But if later they wanted to add something where you could pair up with people and play, that might could be kind of fun. But that's like a whole nother level of programming and having to match people up based on their skill, and they didn't want to have to deal with all that stuff. So
yeah, it was okay to me. It just made the world a little less lonely is the only thing. Yeah. And I didn't care to have it on that much.
Yeah,
I think we had it on when we did our co-op play.
I think the funnest part about it was like placing your standees.
Yeah.
Because standees. You have these little standees that you can buy at the stores around the map, and at first you're like, what are these for? They're just like cute little, like, I guess like cardboard cutouts of different like poses and stuff of each character. And you're like, these are cute. I have no idea what they're for, but they're cool. And then you go online and you're like, you can place your standees throughout the level, which will help other people playing online, like, revive, I guess, if they die and they hit your standee.
Okay.
Then they can come back to life or, like,
I was wondering about
something
that.
Like that. So, I don't know. That part was kind of neat, but yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, you put the standee on, like, a hard section, so if someone dies, they can come back to it. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Like, when they're a little ghost and they hit the standee.
I was just putting them in random spots.
Me too. I don't know. It's something so dumb, but something so fun.
Yeah.
A lot of times it is those little silly things that are like just fun.
Yeah. Oh, and I did think of one other con while we were talking.
No.
And it was...
No, we already went past the cons, Eric.
And it was just like, for me, like the purple coins or whatever, I just ended up with like too many of them. I never was ever short on those. I just ended up with like 999.
You never went
999.
On any shopping sprees, Eric?
No, I mean, I bought everything like I could every time I went into a world. I didn't buy like every single standee or anything, but I bought like all the power-ups, all the wonder seeds, and I was just never short on them.
Wow, brag, why don't you?
Well, I'm just saying, I felt like there was probably maybe too many of them.
I don't know, I ran out a bunch of times.
Okay. So maybe it was just my experience.
Yeah. You're just too good.
Too good for this game. All right, you want to move on to strategy?
Yeah, let's do it.
So obviously picking the right badge can help you get through a difficult section of a particular stage.
Yep.
For me personally, it was hard to beat the boosting spin jump badge, which effectively gave you like a small little double jump.
Yeah.
It just adds so much more control.
Oh, yeah.
And it also happens to be one of the last badges you can unlock, so... Mm-hmm. It's like, not surprisingly, one of the best badges in the game.
It's one of the ones that can save you if you fall down a hole. You know, you might be able to bounce off the wall and get a second chance.
Well, not off the wall, but straight up. You don't need a wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's not a huge, like, extra double jump. Like, you don't go super high, but it's usually, enough.
Yeah.
It can be enough to save you, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. You definitely want to explore everywhere in the levels and in the map. Just walk all over the place. We'll try to walk down anywhere that you can't see, anywhere you kind of think there might be a pathway. There's probably going to be a hidden something in that level. If you think there could be a pathway there, more than likely you can unlock a pathway.
Yeah.
So really just take time and like explore the map, because that's really how you find all the hidden levels and everything, which you're definitely going to want to play.
Yeah. And speaking of the different pathways, like the main stages will all either have two or three wonder seeds in them.
Mm-hmm.
If the stage has three wonder seeds, there'll be a secret exit somewhere in the stage. Sometimes stages will show the outline of three seeds, so you automatically know there's a secret exit. And some stages won't show the extra outline, but will mm-hmm. still contain the secret exit. So the nice thing is, once you find all the seeds in a particular world, the game will let you know.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you found all the seeds. You don't have to keep looking.
Yeah.
But not so much the stage. Like, the stage won't tell you if you found all of them. Well, they will in some instances.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why my next strategy is to play through the levels more than once. Even if you have all the wonder seeds, sometimes you still want to go back and play them again and just see.
Yeah,
just double check and see if there's anything else hidden in there.
I will say that if you found all the secrets in the stage, like if you've gotten all the wonder seeds, if you've gotten like all the 10X coins, if you found all the hidden purple coins, mm-hmm. and if you've gotten the top of the flagpole.
Whoa.
So if you've done all those things, you'll see this faint green check mark in the background in the level selection
wow.
screen. So you can actually tell like if you found all the secrets in the stage or not.
That's kind of cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then another thing is, I mean, I guess this kind of is the same as the last, like play through the levels more than once. But like there's certain levels, I'll put in air quotes, that are pretty much you just talking to a person. They're kind of like the toad houses in yeah. Mario 2 or whatever. Sometimes if you visit those again, you can unlock stuff like a alternate path or, you know, a coin or something. I don't know. I can't remember the other ones.
Yeah.
But like sometimes visiting those twice will unlock something.
Yeah, I found that too.
But other than that, like, I don't have much more strategy. It's like regular Mario strategy, you know? Yeah. Just have fun.
Platforming.
And platforming stuff.
You have all the traditional Mario moves, like the wall jump, stuff yeah. like that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Moving on to the future. So there are always new Mario games and stuff coming out.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Nintendo's cash cow that never seems to run dry. So there
and we never get tired of.
So there are three upcoming Marioverse games that I could find.
Okay.
I know there's probably more than this that is scheduled to come out. Yeah. But
I know Princess Peach is about to come out. I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah. So Princess Peach Showtime is coming March 22nd.
Yeah.
And that will feature.
Oh, that's Dr. Doom's birthday. That's our cat's birthday.
And that will feature Princess Peach.
Obviously.
Yeah. And you have all these different costumes and powers you can give her and stuff like that.
Cool.
Which is kind of cool because, yeah, they're kind of building that character out a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm excited for that game.
There's also Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon HD, which is a remaster of the second Luigi's Mansion game coming in mid-2024. And the last Mario game or Marioverse game I found was that there's also Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door remake set to come out sometime this year as well.
Okay, so one new game and two remakes.
Yeah.
Did you find anything else?
So there's no official announcement yet for a second Mario movie, which is a little surprising considering
how
much that made and how popular it was.
I mean, there's no official announcement, but definitely there's lots of talk about it.
Yeah, I would expect something. They made too much money not to make a sequel.
It's 100% happening. There's no way that's not happening.
Yeah. But yeah, no new news about it as of yet.
Cool.
Want to hear how I did in the challenge?
Yeah. Well, we kind of already spoiled it, you know, earlier, the challenge, if you beat it or not.
Yeah. It was a fun challenge. I especially like the special world stages that did add a little bit.
So you found all the wonder seeds and beat the final badge challenge.
Yes.
Aren't you special?
Yeah, it was a fun game, though. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I figured you'd be able to do the challenge. I don't know if there's anything I could give you that you couldn't do. Except maybe beat the game in invisible mode.
Or with the spring mode.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Yeah.
So are you excited to hear the next game?
Yeah. Not a sucky game, hopefully.
So I felt a little bit bad for picking Pac-Man 2.
Okay, you should. It was bad. It was not fun. You didn't have fun. I didn't have, no one had fun.
Not my fault though. I didn't know it was bad.
That's true. I did buy the game, so it's kind of my
fault. And you bought it for me. Yeah. So do you have any guesses?
Well,
definitely a great game, classic game.
Okay. Great game, classic game. I'll say, not the Hi-Fi Rush or whatever that was the other pick.
Yeah, that's
true. So not that one.
I'll save that one for later.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It could be anything.
We are going to be playing Arkham Asylum.
Batman.
And we're starting with Arkham Asylum because I probably want to do the other games as well.
Okay.
Because that is like such a great trilogy.
I've heard that all these games are good. I've only actually played...
Actually, I think there are four games, but I always think of Asylum, City, and Knight.
Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yeah, and I think I've only played Arkham Knight.
Yeah, right? I played,
which was really, really fun.
I played Arkham Knight and some of Arkham City, and they were both fantastic.
Okay, so we're playing Arkham
Asylum.
Asylum.
So it's the
scary.
It's the first one in the series.
Okay.
So it kind of kicks off this trilogy.
Okay.
And I think it does a lot of cool stuff, which is why I want to start it with it. But I actually haven't played it, so
okay,
we'll see how that goes.
So what's my challenge?
Your challenge is to get the Conundrum Cracker achievement.
What is that?
So, you know, their Riddler trophies are a thing.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to have to get some Riddler trophies. You're going to have to get 55% of the Riddler trophies.
Okay. So just a little more than half.
Yeah.
I can maybe do that. I don't know. We'll see.
It's 132 out of the 240 trophies.
132. Holy shizzle.
I'll give you a little bit of a hint later about some of the extra stuff that you have to do to get them, but that'll be for the next episode.
So this is so hard that they give you an achievement for getting 55% of it done.
Yeah, it's such a weird number. I don't know why. Because
that's
there's not an achievement,
That's
for 50%. Yeah. It's at 55%.
You gotta get a little more than half. All right, we'll see if I can do it.
All right.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye. As always, if you like this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. And check out our website if you'd like to at pressanybutton.net. We love to hear your opinions. If you've played this game yet, what you thought about it, let us know. Bye.